Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
We didn't show the creepy video because I told them and people were getting scared. I was scared. You know, I said, just don't show that thing. Let's just get in the word. But Casket Empty is an acronym. And, this message has been really great because it's allowing us to go through the Bible. And what we're doing is in the world, in weather, you see storm tracker. You know, you're chasing the storm. But what we're doing is we're seed tracking. Who's carrying the seed? The seed that God promised in the garden that from it, he's going to crush the enemy's head. And so we've walked through Genesis, and we're still in there, and we're looking through and seeing how through Adam and Eve, and then we slid into Noah, and then we get into some of the Babel, and all of a sudden you start realizing, man, God is faithful, God is sovereign, and God is in control. No matter how messy it gets, we learned a word last week from the Urban Dictionary. I didn't go to Webster. I didn't go to Oxford. I went to the Urban Dictionary. And in the Urban Dictionary, the word we learned about was the word that people are throwing around the next generation is called messy. People are messy. And so we, as you look through the Bible, there's a lot of messiness, isn't it? People are just messy. And messy means out of control. People that are in people's business. They don't need to be there. And last week, we learned about a family with Jacob and, Isaac and Rebecca. And we began to see the messiness of their marriage, the messiness of their upbringing of their children, Jacob and Esau. And last week I ended with Esau and something that he had to do. And what I brought home to you and I was that in the message, in the messiness, there's a message. And that message last week was forgiveness. Because when you become a man or woman of power, and if you haven't gotten stuff out of your soul, out of your heart, you can destroy some things. Because Esau wanted to kill Jacob, not realizing that the 12 tribes of Israel were standing right in front of him. And if he destroys that man, he destroys the nation. But he said, I forgive you, brother. I forgive you. And they went their separate ways. And we're going to pick up today with a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was born to Jacob in his latter years, and he was his favorite. And we're going to look at his life. And as you go back, when these men split up, one went one way, Esau went one way, and Jacob went the other, a lot of chaos happened once again because Jacob wasn't obedient to go where he was supposed to go. They land in a town, and these men get in conflict with some people in the village, the brothers do. And as they get into this conflict, something happens where they end up doing something bad to their sister, Dinah. And when they do this bad thing, the brothers are like, no, you're not going to do that to my sister. And then instead of being nice to these men, they wiped them out. And how many know that's not God's plan? That's not God's nature. And God saw what those boys did, and he struck them out and said, out of you group, this group, you're not going to carry the seed. And so Jacob knew that God's blessing was still resting upon the family. The covenant was still with him. So he picks up and he moves to a town called Ephrath. Ephrath is known as Bethlehem now today. And as he gets there, he begins to settle. And as he's beginning to settle, he begins to recognize his boys and things that are going on in their life. And as we begin to realize that Joseph is the boy that the blessing is resting upon right now. But you look at Reuben does a mistake. Now, remember, I told you in Jewish culture, the blessing always goes to the firstborn, correct? Well, Reuben messes up and ends up sleeping with one of Jacob's concubines. And that's a strike because you just don't do that. And so now we're looking, who's carrying the seed? Who has the seed? The only two left that have the right to carry this seed is Judah and Joseph. Well, as you read the story and you know how it goes, Jacob begins to favor Joseph. How many know that's not good? And as you begin to look at this situation, the one thing that jumped out to me is a new word that I'm going to teach you today from the Urban Dictionary. It's called capping. Say capping. Capping means lying. So if you see or hear somebody say, man, you capping, that means you lying. And there was a whole lot of capping going on. Because now it's being passed down to the generations. How many of you know that the mother and the father can pass things down to their children? And so this spirit of capping, if you will, is now starting to infiltrate these boys. And you look at it right here, the Bible says in Exodus 34:7, it says, maintaining faithful love to the thousand, this is God, to the generations, forgiving rebellion and sin. But he will not leave the guilty unpunished. Bringing the father's iniquity on the children and the grandchildren in the third and fourth generation. As we go, so goes the next generation. And as I'm sitting there looking at this story, I begin to see the pattern. You begin to see the pattern. It says here that Joseph is a big deal in the Bible. It says that a quarter of the book of Genesis is written about Joseph. Joseph's name means he will add. And so here we go. You got this thing being passed down with these people. And Joseph, not realizing, man, that I'm getting ready to go through a dark moment. It said that Jacob loved Joseph more than his other brothers because he was born in his old age. And the brothers resented that because Jacob gave him a tunic. And this was a special tunic. This wasn't like a normal one that the sheep herders would have where the sleeves were cut out and a little bit long. No, this was special, long sleeves. He was treated a different way. How many know when you start getting treated a different way in front of your siblings, it can bring division? And they're watching this. Dad is over here taking care of this. Now, instead of him going out in the field, he's hanging out in the house. And he's been taught specific things on education. Reminds you of somebody, doesn't it? His daddy. Because Jacob was the same way. He wasn't out in the field. He was home with his mom, learning things, passing something down, treating somebody just like. And how many know those boys probably heard the squabbling between both moms, Leah and Rachel? Yeah, your daddy doesn't love me. So now it's even more magnified, more intensity. He's got this tunic, but now he's favored. And mama said it was going to be just like that. Just like that. But you know what? The one thing I tell people early on is better take care of what's in your heart. Because don't let a root of bitterness spring up in you lest you defile many. And these boys were bitter. And one day they went off into a field. And I'm setting this story up because I want to take you somewhere. And they go away and they're supposed to be tending the sheep. And they're supposed to be away. And Joseph's back home relaxing. And all of a sudden he says, go find your brothers. Go check up on them. And he goes out to go check them on. He can't find them where they were supposed to be. And you know, these brothers got together and they got a plot. You know, we're going to get this boy. Why were they going to get him? Because early on, Joseph had a dream. How many know if you have a dream, it's important that you don't tell that dream just to anybody? Because there's some haters out there. There's some people that don't have your best interest at hand. There's some people that don't want to see you go and be what God's called you to do. And so this young man, Joseph, says, you know what? I had this dream. And in this dream, you fools bowed down to me. How many know that probably didn't go too well? You bowed down to me. But they bitter. And so they see Joseph from afar off. And they're looking at him. They're saying, there he is, this dreamer. We're going to kill him. Somebody steps in and says, no, let's not do that. Let's not do that. It's not killing. So they come up with this plot. You know what? We're going to make this story up that he got eaten by a wild animal. And they strip him of his tunic and they throw him down in this little pit, waiting for these people to pass by, these slave traders. How many know all that was produced from mommy and daddy? This jealousy, this bitter, this enviousness. Let's go through the list and see what's been passed down. It says this, look back. Rebecca favored Jacob. Isaac favored Esau. Jacob favored Joseph. Jacob favored Rachel. Leah was jealous of Rachel. Brothers now are jealous of Joseph. Esau wanted to kill Jacob. Now the brothers want to kill Joseph. Things are being passed down. If you don't deal with your past, it's going to catch up in your present. If you don't deal with your past, it's going to catch up with your present. Now, I'm not against your upbringing because I grew up different than most African-American men would. I grew up in a multi-ethnic home. But one thing I picked up on growing up, which I now bring along with me, is diversity. See, I can see racism. I can smell racism. I know what it looks like. You can't fool me. Because my stepfather was white, and he wasn't any kind of white. He was country white. No, let me take it a little bit further. Hillbilly white. And then my mother, you know, had me at a young age, 16. My stepfather bailed. And I'm so grateful that my mother raised me to be a man, not a boy. She raised me tough, hard, but it was okay because she saw something in me that others couldn't see. So don't despise your upbringing. It was difficult in my home. My stepfather beat my mom. I grew up with drugs and alcohol. But the upbringing, there's something about it. I could have grew up bitterness. I could have been angry at this person and that person. But you know what I said? Let me find the good things in my upbringing. The one thing that I remember that I felt was so important was that my stepfather was a traveler. That meant that, man, he was all over this country. And he'd take me along and I got to experience things. Watch Jeopardy and my kids freak out. They're like, Daddy, how do you know all this stuff about the landmarks and what's the ocean and this mountain and this capital? How do you know? Because I've been there traveling. And so what I want to say, my first point is this. Is you got to understand that it's okay to look like, but don't act like those who brought you up. It's okay to look like them. Anybody ever heard somebody say you look just like your grandmother? You look just like your dad? You look just like your mom? You look just like your uncle or your aunt or whoever it may be? You look just like them. Oh, you're a spinning image. But I'm telling you, you better not act like them. See, if I acted like my real father that bore me, we'd be in trouble because I have a long line of young boys or girls that probably were not my own. You know what I mean? He was out there in them streets doing stuff he shouldn't have been doing. And so when they say you look just like your dad, that's great, but please don't say I act like him. Please don't say that I act like him. See this, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It said that old things are passed away and all things become new in Christ Jesus. Old things. Old things. The thing that God was getting ready to do in Joseph is he's getting ready to uproot the old things because God has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny for this man. And he doesn't understand. He's in this pit. They bring him out. They put him with these slave traders, and he's on his way to a place that he never thought he would end up going to. But you know where there's some baggage in him. And I'm here to tell you this morning as God is beginning to elevate you. Just like Dr. Ugo said, he believes that chains are falling off. Those chains are weight. Those chains keep you from being the man or woman of God you're called to be. Those chains keep you from elevating and going to the next level because the God that we serve takes us from faith to faith, strength to strength, and glory to glory. You can't stay the same. You can't stay the same with God. And so God has to take care of business in Joseph. And the first stop, you know, the first stop was in Potiphar's house. But the Bible says this. It says, even as he was in Potiphar's house, God was with him. Do you know that no matter where you and I go, as men and women of God, God is with us. It don't mean if you're in the valley, if you're in the plateau, or you're on the mountain, God is with you. You can be in your job. It can be difficult. It can be bad. God's with you. You can be on the college campus. It can be difficult. It can be bad, but God is with you. You can be any part of the country, the world, but God is with you. And here he is in this man's house, and it said anything that he put his hand to, God would bless it. He would bless it. There's a promise when you follow God. It says in Psalms 1, blessed is he who meditates on the word day and night, that whatever he or she puts her hand to, God will bless it. It will prosper. So anytime Joseph would do something, Potiphar would step back and realize, man, God, something is on you because my house is blessed because of you. Come here, let's have a team meeting. Let me talk to you a little bit. Hey, this is what we're going to do. You can do anything. Matter of fact, I'm putting you in charge of all this. But one thing I need you to do, stay away from my wife. Now, you think he probably didn't know something about his wife that Joseph didn't know about? So here comes the first test. Because God is, before he gives you that thing, before he puts you in a position of power, there's going to be a test. Because so many people, pastor, I want to be this. Pastor, I want to do that. Pastor, I want to go here. I want all these things. And I ask them this question. If God were to give it to you right now, could you handle it? Can you really handle the blessing? Can you handle it? And he says, you know, okay, that's good. I'll do it. But how many of you know that his wife had a plan? And her plan was this. Her plan was to try to take him out. How many of you know that his wife wasn't ugly? I'm going to be honest. How many of you know his wife wasn't ugly? And this man is from his mom, from his dad, all alone. And every day this woman would come to him and say, what's up, boy? How you doing? Uh-huh. My husband ain't here, but you know what? It don't matter because don't nobody got to know. We can creep. We can do whatever you want to do just between me and you. But it didn't just stop there. It said that she came daily. Daily. Some of us think, man, it's just going to be a one-time thing with the enemy when he comes to you in the night. No, the enemy doesn't play fair. The enemy's scheme is to break you. He's going to keep coming wave after wave after wave after wave. That's why the Bible says do not grow weary in doing good. His goal is to wear you down. And you know what? She kept coming. She kept after him. And she wanted to see if there was something in him that would crack. But you know what? Thank God he was a man of God. Because you know what he said? He looked her in her eye. He said, how could I do something like this in the presence of my God? See, God gave Joseph a dream. And there's two people that know about this dream. There's a God in heaven who knows about this dream. And there's the enemy beneath that knows about this dream. And people want to take that dream from you. He said, man, why was God testing him in this? Because when you're immoral or you're in sin, it's hard to think straight. See, that guilt and that condemnation will come upon you in the midnight hour. And the enemy will wear you out with that thing that you've done. And he will beat you and beat you and beat you until you quit and give up. But the thing is this, if you can stand on your feet and straighten up your back and look the devil in the eye and say, not on my watch, not today, not as a man or woman of God. I have a destiny. I have a purpose. I got too many great things on the line right now. How dare I do something like that in the presence of my God? Of my God. There's pressure. There's pressure on the promise. And if you're going to be a man or woman of God to do great things, you got to understand this. It is game on. The enemy does not play fair. He had to get that thing out of him. See, it was passed down in his family line. A bunch of sin and iniquity. A bunch of things that were going on. And you know the story. She ends up lying on him. And what happens? He ends up getting put into the prison, which we call the pit. But how many of you know there's fruit in the pit? How many of you know there's breakthrough in the pit? How many of you know that you can go through some things in the pit that's teaching you to get better on what ultimately what God is calling you to be or do? And so when you're in the pit and it's dark and it's just you and yourself, and that's a scary place to be, and nobody's there to help you, all you can do is hang on to the promise, hang on to the word of God. And my next point is this. It's not for me, but it's for you. It's do you believe? See, when God speaks a word to you or myself, the question is do you believe? Because there's going to be moments in your life that your pastor won't be there, the worship team's not singing, your connect group leader's not going to answer your phone, and it's going to be you and yourself. And you're in the pit. And the question is, will you stand on the promise of God in your life? Will you stand on it? And there's something taking place in the pit in Jacob's or Joseph's life. Look at this. It's a thing called discipline. I don't like it. You don't like it. But the Bible says that God disciplines those whom he loves. He disciplines them. And what is he teaching Joseph in the pit? Joseph was in the pit to learn two things. How to be patient. Because everybody in culture and society wants their blessing right now. And God's like, you're not ready. You're not ready with what I'm getting ready to put on you. You're not ready. If I put it on you, it's going to crush you. If I give it to you, you're going to mess it up. Because I'm getting ready to explain something to you. It's not about you. And so he's in this pit, and the Bible says this in Hebrews 12, 5 through 12. It says this, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Don't take it. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. It says this in verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by the father. And I'm going to jump down to verse 12. It says, no discipline seems pleasant. It's not fun. Why? God, where are you? I thought you said, you promised me this thing, and I'm here in this pit. You said people were going to bow down to me, the moon, the stars, people. What's going on? I'm stuck in this prison. But you know what? He's learning discipline. You know what? He's learning how to rise early. He's learning how to stay up late. He's learning how to take charge of those prisoners in that warden. Could you imagine? He's got the key because the Bible says that God was with him in the pit. You got to understand, every night he's got to lock the door. He's got to lock the door of all the prisoners. He's got the key. He could leave if he wanted to. But you know what? He says, no. We're going to do it God's way. Let me lock myself up. Let me keep myself where I need to be. See, so many times we want to get out. We want to get out from under the pressure, get away from the discipline. But you know what? As a pastor, sometimes I step back. I said, I'm not going to be the Holy Spirit. The only person that can get you out of this situation is God. And so he bumps into these two men, the cupbearer and the baker. Now, what is God teaching them in this? Patience and also how to utilize his gift. How many know you can utilize your gift and you don't even know you're utilizing your gift? You're at work and all of a sudden you feel something. Something ain't right in here. And all of a sudden that gift of discernment or the gift of faith. Sometimes people think you got to be a fivefold minister to utilize gifts. No, God wants you in the workplace to use your gift. He wants you to use your gift. And he's in the pit, and it's bad, and all of a sudden they have dreams. And he says, man, I know what those dreams mean. You're going to be restored. You, your head getting cut off. It's not going to be good. Sorry. Said in 3 days it went down just like that. But you know what happened? It said that the cupbearer forgot him. He forgot him. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Who doesn't forget is God. He doesn't forget his promise. Some of y'all have prayers hovering over you guys that you've been holding on for God to do. And I'm telling you this morning, keep moving forward. Don't quit. Stay the course. Let the God Almighty in heaven break through and get you out of this situation. Because if he gets out under the cupbearer, he comes second in command to the cupbearer. Now I want you to think about that. If he gets out with the cupbearer, he becomes second in command to the cupbearer. But thank God he didn't answer that prayer, get me out now. Because what he said was this, at the appointed time, and I'm going to tell you about the appointed time, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. It means it don't matter what's going on in your life, who's doing what to you, how hooking and crooking people are, whatever scheme is happening, I promise you, the God of heaven and earth is going to reach down from heaven and pull you out of that situation, and nothing can stop it. Nothing. Nothing. But you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to stay the course. You got to stay convicted. God was watching Joseph in the pit. God was watching with him and Potiphar and his wife. He's watching these things. And all of a sudden, at the right time, at the right moment, he's standing in front of his destiny. Right there, face to face with Pharaoh. If the phone ring just now, if you're in church and the phone would to ring right now with that thing that you was praying for God to do, would you be ready? If you walked out of this room and your phone rings and all of a sudden it's game time, would you be ready? Joseph was ready. He looked Pharaoh square in the eye. Pharaoh said, I got some dreams and it's been tormenting me. And Pharaoh said, you know what? Excuse me. Joseph said, you know what? Let me tell you something. The God that I serve, he'll give you the answer to that dream. He'll give it to you. Gives the dream, and all of a sudden, this happens. And I'm closing. He gives the dream. Joseph interprets the dream. He looks at him. He says, man, I've never in all my life seen anybody with the wisdom that you have. He looked at him. He said, you know what? It didn't come from me. It came from God. When God is showing up and showing up in your life and he starts showing out, the last thing you and I need to do is say that God is me. No, it's the God that I serve. It's the God that I serve that helps me on my job. It's the God that I serve that helps me as a mother or father. It's the God that helps me serve to do the things that I do in society. It's the God that I serve. It's not me. God is drawn to humility. And he elevates him. Now here's the thing I'm going to bring home with you. Be ready for your aha moment. Be ready when it all starts to make sense. All the stuff that you had to go through, all the hurt, all the pain, all the shame, all the guilt, all the condemnation, everything that you've ever went through that tried to break you, that tried to shake you, to try to keep you from being what God has called you to be, all that, and all of a sudden you sit there and you get your aha moment. Now I know why I had to go through what I had to go through. And he's sitting there. And now he's a man of power. It said that when he walks around, people bow the knee. How many of you know that's a man of power? And he's walking around and he's telling people to do what he's supposed to do. But you know what? The enemy don't play fair because he sends his brothers to him. Now, it wasn't a bad thing, but how many of you know when the past comes to find you, if you ain't ready for it, it can break you. Here come his brothers. And I need you to get this. Thank you. Here comes his brothers. He looks at his brothers, and here's the aha moment, and here's our money line, Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done. And this is it. If you leave with something today, it's this right here, for the saving of many lives. Not one, not two, but many lives. See, when you go through the hell that you got to go through and you realize in that moment, it ain't about me, but I had to go through this dark moment so that I could save many lives. See, your walk with God is so much bigger than you. Your walk with God is so much bigger than yourself. Your walk with God is about those that are going to come behind you, the people that you're standing in the gap for. That's what this is all about. He forgave his brothers. The famine was there. They ate, and they were restored. He saved a nation, many lives. And so this morning, I want you to drive this home in your spirit. I know things may have been passed down. People may have said these things. But what I know is this, that it's not for nothing. It's so that you and I can stand in the gap and save many lives. New York, you're standing in the gap. Manila, you're standing in the gap. Africa, Asia, Latin America, Europe, wherever you may be from, the Caribbean, you're standing in the gap for men and women. And as you go, so goes the people behind you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning that all the darkness and all the hurt and all the pain that we've gone through, my prayer this morning is, Lord, they would realize, they would get that revelation that it's all for naught. The Lord is for the saving of many lives. Lord, I don't know what you have for men and women in store in this room today, but But I sense that destiny, purpose, birthright, nations are in the balance. Campuses are in the balance based off of how we go. Lord, we bless you. We magnify you. And we say, Lord, have your way. We accept the process. We accept the process. Don't short-circuit it. Have your way, Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.